Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Vav, Chapter 26. In yesterday's chapter, we learned of the refusal of Nabal the Carmelite to provide sustenance for David's men, and the divinely ordained punishment for his stinginess, which stemmed from arrogance and the conviction that he, and not David, deserved to be king. In contrast to Nabal, his wife Abigail demonstrated not only generosity, but intellectual superiority that was so arresting that David was not only convinced by her arguments not to destroy Nabal and his household, but was so impressed by her that upon Nabal's death, he took her as his own wife. Chazal teach that Abigail is one of the seven Nevi'ot, the seven prophetesses, whose words were recorded for posterity. We shall see that her influence on David continues to be felt as our narrative progresses. The events of today's perek will sound familiar. We experienced a similar episode in the perek before last, but there are some subtle yet significant differences between the two. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Vayavo'u hazifim el Sha'ul ha-giv'ata. Lemor, halo David mistater b'giv'ata chachila al pnei ha-yishimon. Once again, the Zifim approached Sha'ul with the information that David is hiding in Givata Chachila facing Yishimon. Sha'ul arose, again taking 3,000 elite soldiers of Israel's army, to seek David in the wilderness of Zif. Sha'ul camped at Givat HaChachila, facing Yishimon, along the way, and David perceived that Sha'ul had followed him into the wilderness. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Vayishlach David Miraglim, Vayeda Kiva Sha'ul El Nachon. And David sent spies and confirmed that indeed Sha'ul had come. Kliakar suggests that after the last episode, which had ended with Shaul's expression of acceptance of David's right to the throne, David wanted to confirm that it was indeed Shaul himself who was now abrogating his own words. Alternatively, he wanted to determine whether Shaul was anxious or confident, and he was informed that Shaul was El Nachon, convinced of the merit of his campaign and confident of victory. Pasuk Hey, verse 5, Vayakam David vayavo el hamakom asher chana sham Sha'ul. Vayar David et hamakom asher shachav sham Sha'ul, ve'avner bener sar tzva'o, ve'Sha'ul shochev bama'agal, ve'ha'am chonim svivotav. David then arose and went to the place where Sha'ul was encamped. David saw the place where Sha'ul and Avner bener, the commander of his army, lay encircled by the people. In this episode, unlike the last meeting between the two protagonists, which occurred ostensibly by chance, David here actively initiates the encounter. David asked his two deputies, Avishai ben Tsruya, who was his nephew, and whom we will come to know better throughout Sefer Shmuel, and Achimelech Hachiti, who does not reappear, who will come down with me to face Shaul? And Avishai volunteered. Perhaps Achimelech's hesitation explains why he subsequently disappears from the story. David and Avishai approached the encampment at night, and Shaul was asleep at the center of the circle. His spear was thrust into the ground at his head. Avner and all the people lay surrounding him. The text emphasizes here that Shaul was surrounded by his men to make it nearly impossible to reach him, and that his spear, which he always kept in his hand, as we have seen in these most recent times, was within easy reach. Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Vayomer Avishai el David, Sigar Elokim hayom et oyvecha biyadecha, ve'ata akenu na b'chanit uva'aretz pam achat, Velo eshnelo. Avishai said to David, behold, Hashem has delivered your enemy into your hand today. Now I will strike him with my spear and pin him to the ground with one thrust. It will not require a second. Avishai is confident in his military abilities. Pasuk tet vayomer David el Avishai, al tashchitehu, ki mi shalach yado b'mashiach Hashem v'nika. David replies, this time without hesitation, do not destroy him, for who can raise a hand against Hashem's anointed and be free of guilt? Verse 10, Vayomer David, Chai Hashem, ki im Hashem yigafenu, O yomo yavo vamet, o vamilchama yered v'nispa. David continued, I swear Hashem will strike him with a plague, or his day will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. Hashem will take care of Shaul. Heaven forbid that I should be the one to raise a hand against Hashem's anointed one. Rather, take the spear and the water canteen that is next to his head, and let's go on our way. Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Vayikach David et hachanit ve'et zapachat hamayim mirashotei Shaul, vayelchu lahem, ve'ein ro'e ve'ein yodea ve'ein mekitz, ki chulam yishenim, ki tardemat Hashem nafla aleihem. David took the spear and the water canteen from near Shaul's head, and they left. No one saw them or knew they were there. No one awakened, for Hashem had caused a deep sleep to fall upon them. Just as in the last incident, David is urged by his supporters to seize the opportunity to kill Shaul. But whereas in the previous episode, David was initially inclined to listen and only compromised by cutting off the corner of Shaul's coat when he was struck by the holiness of Shaul or the importance of his position as king, here he immediately decries the suggestion and offers a clear strategy of his own on the grounds that Hashem will certainly take care of Shaul and bring about his end one way or another, clearing the path to David's kingship. Here we see the influence of Abigail, who has taught David to remain clear-headed, to act governed by intellect rather than by instinct, and has assured him prophetically that Hashem intends to keep his promise and David will be king. Avishai, who has not yet internalized the message of clear-headedness and self-restraint, is reluctant to adopt David's plan. Therefore, David himself takes the water and the spear, even though he had commanded Avishai to do it, perhaps fearing that if Avishai were to approach Shaul, his instinct would get the better of him and he would kill Shaul despite David's warning to the contrary. It's obvious that David took Shaul's spear to render him powerless to hurt him. But why did he take the water canteen as well? One suggestion is to imply that Shaul's days are numbered and that his supplies will soon run out, while Mishpatot Zahav maintains that David was acting in consonance with Shaul's extreme piety. He knew that upon awakening from his deep sleep, Shaul would not move without washing the Tzilat Yadayim, ritually washing his hands, which was why he had placed the water next to him before going to sleep. This would give David time to escape once his plan is put in motion, if water is not available. And this suggestion is supported by the fact that at the conclusion of the encounter, and here this is a little spoiler alert, David will return the spear to Shaul, but not the water, which allows for this suggested delay so that he might get a head start. Having retreated a safe distance to the top of the mountain with Shaul's spear and his water canteen in hand, Pasuk Yudalid, verse 14, Vayikra David el ha'am ve'el Avner b'ner le'mor. Halo ta'ane Avner? Vaya'an Avner vayomir. Mi ata karata el ha'melech? David called out to the men and to Avner, saying, will you not answer, Avner? And Avner responded, who are you who dares to call out to wake the king? David said to Avner, are you not a great man? Who is like you in all of Israel? So why have you not guarded your lord the king? For one of the nation came to destroy the king. That which you have done is not good. By God, you are all deserving of death for failing to guard your master, Hashem's anointed one. And now look, where are the king's spear and water canteen that were at his head? David's use of the term Achad Ha'am brings to mind the only other place in Tanakh where this phrase is used. When Avimelech, king of Gerar, complained to Yitzchak that he should have identified Rivka as his wife rather than presenting her as his sister, he says in Bereishit chapter 26, verse 10, Mazot asita lanu, kim'at shachav achad ha'am et ishtecha, v'hiveta aleinu asham. What have you done to us? One of the nation almost slept with your wife and would have brought guilt upon us. Rashi explains that Avimelech was referring to himself, Echad ha'am, implying ha'miyuchad ba'am, the most special among the nation, meaning the king. Similarly here, David is implying to Avner, I, by right of having been anointed king, might have killed Shaul had I chosen to do so, and you failed to protect him. Alternatively, Mitzudat Zion explains that David is referring to Avishai, who really might have killed Shaul had David not restrained him. Pasuk Yud Zayin 17, Vayaker Shaul et Kol David, Vayomer, Hakolcha ze b'ni David? Vayomer David, Koli Adoni HaMelech. And Shaul, who had by now awakened, recognized David's voice and called out, "Is that your voice, my son David?" And David responded, "Yes, it is my voice, my lord the king." While this may sound like a repeat performance, there are several significant differences between this dialogue and the similar one that occurred previously. Both Shaul and David are more restrained. Previously, upon recognizing David, Shaul was overcome by his righteousness and cried, while here his response is far less emotional, though he does acknowledge the family relationship. David, too, is more guarded in his response, responding to Shaul not as Avi, my father, as he had previously, rather with the more distant Adoni HaMelech, my lord the king. He continues with a similar but less impassioned argument to that which he had previously presented. Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18, Vayomer, Lama ze Adoni rodef acharei avdo? Ki me asiti, uma biyadi ra'a? Again, David says, "Why does my lord pursue his servant? What have I done? What guilt lies in my hand? Now, let my lord listen to the words of his servant. If it is Hashem who has incited you against me, may he be appeased by an offering. But if it is men, may they be cursed by Hashem, for they are trying to drive me away from sharing in the portion of Hashem, as if they're urging me to worship false gods. Now, let my blood not be spilled far from Hashem's presence, for the king of Israel has set out to pursue a single flea, as one who hunts a partridge in the hills." David still believes that Shaul would not have turned against him on his own initiative after his declaration at the end of their previous encounter. Thus, he offers two possibilities. If it is Hashem who is inciting Shaul, and Shaul's pursuit of David is divinely ordained, then he says, "I accept the reality, and I will try to appease Hashem with a mincha, an offering." Rashi interprets mincha here as a prayer, saying, "May Hashem in his mercy accept my prayer and turn your wrath away from me," while the Malbim sees it as self-sacrifice. Just as a mincha is an offering that accompanies a larger sacrifice, so too David's self-restraint here accompanies the self-restraint he evinced in the first episode, which required greater effort on his part. If, on the other hand, it is men who are inciting Shaul against David, they are cursed. According to Malbim, David could not forgive these men the effect of their behavior on his spiritual state. Because of them, he feels forced to leave Eretz Yisrael to ensure his safety, and he resents that, as it will have a negative impact on his spiritual status, both in terms of his ability to fulfill the mitzvot that are dependent upon being in the land, and the greater spiritual sensitivity afforded by the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, where the supervision of Hashem is felt more profoundly even today. Pasuk Chaf Aleph, verse 21. Vayomer Shaul, Chatati, Shuv Bini David, Ki lo ara lecha od, tachat asher yakra nafshi be'inecha hayom hazeh. Hine hiskalti, va'eshgeh harbe me'od. Shaul then said, "I have sinned. Come back, my son David, for I will no longer cause you harm, since you have demonstrated today that you consider my life precious. Behold, I have been foolish and have greatly erred." David, however, is unconvinced by Shaul's confession and declines his invitation to return. He responds, "Here is the king's spear," and one of the attendants came across and took it. Malbim explains that David's reference to the spear explains why he will not return, as Shaul had asked. "After all, here is the very spear with which you tried to kill me, which you still keep close at hand." Pasuk Chaf Gimel, verse 23. Va'ashem yashiv la'ish et tzidkato, ve'et amunato, asher netancha Hashem hayom biyad, ve'lo aviti lishloach yadi b'mashiach Hashem. May Hashem repay every man according to his righteousness and his faithfulness. For Hashem delivered you into my hand today, but I had no desire to raise a hand against Hashem's anointed one. Just as I valued your life today, may my life be valued in the eyes of Hashem, and may he save me from all suffering. We can see in these words David's resignation to the fact that Shaul will not desist from his pursuit, and David trusts only in Hashem to release him from the suffering that Shaul's pursuit has brought upon him. Pasuk Chaf Hei 25, Vayomer Shaul el David, Baruch ata beni David, gam asot ta'ase, v'gam yachol tuchal. Vayelech David ledarko, v'Shaul shav limkomo. Shaul then responded to David, "Blessed are you, my son David. May you accomplish much and be very successful." Note that while this is a very nice blessing, there is no explicit mention of the kingship, just a general wish for David's success in any endeavor he might undertake. In fact, many of the commentators see it not as a blessing, rather a prediction. "I see that you are, in fact, blessed, and therefore will be successful in whatever you undertake." Not necessarily that I wish it to be so. And David went on his way, while Shaul returned to his home. Thank you for learning together. Li'ilui nishmot imhotenu hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer alea shalom, and Sarah Schenker alea shalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.